Hi, my name is Curtis Robbins. I'm with the Educational Theater Programs with Kaiser Permanente here in Colorado. And I want to share with you a little bit of who we are, because I think people don't have quite a context of who we are and what we do, and then give you an example of a bully prevention program that we've designed for elementary school, upper elementary schools, and then our assessment process and the journey that we've had to try to assess to see the value that a theater program has in supporting the bully prevention efforts in an elementary school. As I said, I'm a program coordinator, so my role in this has been to do the creative development and implementation of the program into the community. And Sarah Johnson, who's listed here, who's not able to be with us here today, she's handled more of the assessment side of this process. First of all, Kaiser Permanente, if you're not familiar with the organization, it's a nonprofit national health organization. We have a mission to provide affordable, high-quality health services to improve the health of our members and also the communities we serve. And that's where the educational theater programs land, is in that last clause there, in the communities we serve. We're part of a large body of work that Kaiser Permanente does to support the community called Community Benefit, and we provide free programming and services to the community. All of the educational theater programs are provided free to anyone who calls us and wants us to come out. The educational theater program's mission is that through the arts, we would inspire people to make healthy choices. We currently in Colorado, we've been here for 25 years providing this free programming to school and community groups. This is just a quick example. Every Kaiser Permanente region throughout the United States, there's 8 different regions, has an educational theater program. So if you're from one of these other areas, I can connect you. We run very specific to the community. So we look at local community needs and uniquely serve them based on what local community needs are. Here in Colorado in 2009, we were able to service close to 87,000 people with almost 500 programs being offered to the community, and they landed in these 3 major areas: healthy eating and active living, healthy communication, and social and emotional health. We are tracked, we're tracking to service about 100,000 people this year in 2010 with our programs. And I'm gonna focus the rest of our time on that bottom program called Choose Your Life. Just some background for you. The reason we started looking into developing a bully prevention program was really out of community need. We kept getting increased requests from specifically elementary schools. Can you address bully prevention? Do you have a bully prevention program? What we began to realize is they were starting to schedule programs that we had that were focusing on conflict resolution. And we realized this isn't really addressing the bully prevention issue. Conflict resolution, working with peers who have kind of the same social status, whereas bully prevention, we're really looking at 2 different statuses where one person has a lot more power and control that they're putting over onto the person who's being targeted. We also realized when we started to look at how we're going to do this, we wanted to be part of a bigger picture. We didn't want to be theater artists out there doing our own little thing. We wanted to be part of a grander picture that was happening. So we first began a partnership with the Denver Public Schools and their district level prevention coordinator who was focused on bully prevention. And she helped us in working with schools that she was working with about 50 schools in DPS. However, since that time, since we started in 2009, it hasn't just been Denver Public Schools. We've been able to service over 200 schools with servicing about 45,000 students with this program. What is Choose Your Life? It's a play, a high energy, live action play that's interactive, energetic. We examine the different forms of bullying, both the overt forms, the teasing, the tripping that happens, but then also the covert forms, the exclusion, intimidation, and those forms of bullying. It's a play where 4 students are kind of going through their daily life, and then this game show comes in and invades them, and it's fun and wacky, and they start learning about what it means to be targeted, what it means to be a bystander, what it means when you're actually bullying. It introduces the concept of empathy. And what our attempt was to make sure that we gave practical strategies for young people to walk away from our program with things that they could use, take and use with their peers and in their school community to create a culture of caring in their school. We also wanted to connect those everyday situations of students to a greater historical and social context. And we were able to develop a relationship with Carlotta Walls Lanier, who is one of the Little Rock 9, one of the first African-American women to be a student at an all-white school. She was one of the first in Arkansas to do that. She lives here in Colorado. She's a mentor for students here in the Denver area. And she was able to do an interview with us that we use within the production as a mock interview. She's kind of there, and it seems like she's live. And we're asking her questions, and she's informing the characters and the students about her experience and about some ideas of how they can handle bullying situations. Finally, we also, as part of the program, developed this booklet as well that is given to students and teachers beforehand as pre-work and then follow-up work as well. And it's linked to literature, so there's ways that they can use books that connect to it. And teachers are really encouraged to use this in the classroom, but it's also used as a journal and a reflective material for students. If they don't use it in the classroom, they can take it home and use it. And there are copies of this in the back of the room if you'd like them. I thought I had a clip to show you because we talk about theater and we get a lot of nodding heads and then some eyes that glaze over, and it's hard to really picture what are we talking about. I should tell you that when I say we're bringing a play, it's that we're not a bunch of people who thought, oh, let's go do a skit together. These are people, the people who perform this are professional actors here in the Denver metro area. So they're skilled actors. They're also very skilled facilitators, so they know how to work well with an audience and interact with them. So I just wanted to lay that groundwork that it's really about making this a professional product that we're bringing into the schools. And I wish you could see it and see the interaction, because I think that helps to make the connection better. Is it still on this app? I'm not going to waste the time. If you want to, I can probably link you to this at a later time. Cool. Just so you know that we put some things in this to make sure that there's an intentional design to this program, and what was already mentioned this morning, positive youth development, the research around that is very important to all of the programs that we do at the Educational Theater. But specifically looking at how do we come from a strengths-based approach, so we don't come in and bring out all the deficits within a student body. We look at what are the things that you can do. We try to build on those, and we really focus on youth engagement. So as part of our program, we're making sure that the youth that are watching are very much involved with what is happening, and we're getting their feedback and their perspective. Powerful for a theater artist is the idea of story, and the idea that story is a really powerful methodology for learning, a great learning tool. So students become co-constructionists with us. They are a live studio audience for the game show that we have created, and they are providing input to the characters and telling them what they should do. We also look at the value of exploration, looking at the consequences of choices, helping students to predict if they make this choice, what's going to happen. And then the most important piece of telling a story is then being able to take what's happening with the characters and bringing it back and applying it in a reflective way back into their own personal life. And finally, humor. Bullying is a very serious, tough topic. We've tried to find ways that we can add appropriate content-related humor so that we can reduce the stress in the students who are watching and hopefully bridge and open a door so that they can have increased learning and understanding and take something away that's memorable for them. Oh, I should go back. So this is the wheel, and those are all the practical strategies that we provide young people. So there is media that's used to help try to engage them as well. Here are all the resources that we have. I'm not going to go into this. I can provide you the PowerPoint on this. I believe it has been uploaded for you. These are just some of the main ones that we use to get the content for the learning and the messaging that we wanted to put out about bullying prevention. So that's the program, but so what effect does it have? What value does it really add to the bully prevention process? So what we landed on is a question that we wanted to evaluate and assess was, do reported events of bullying and harassment decrease at a school after seeing the Choose Your Life program? This is kind of our design. What we decided to do is we selected 12 schools who came to us for the program. They didn't have to do this. We just asked them, would you be a part of this? They volunteered to say yes, they would. We asked them to report by grade level through third grade through fifth grade the number of bullying and harassment events which resulted in an office referral. And we asked them to do that over an 8-week period, so 2 weeks before we came and did the program through 4 weeks afterwards. And what we were able to get was completed information from three schools that agreed to help us out. From there, we took those three schools and we decided we want to make sure that we're comparing this with similar schools that haven't had our program at all. So we tried to find schools that were in the same district as the ones that had completed their information, had the same socioeconomic levels based on the free and reduced lunch eligibility. We wanted to look at the diversity, the ethnic demography, and make sure that was similar. We tried to see if they had an office referral tracking system, and then also any presence of another bully prevention program, to try to link them up and make a comparison. Finally, in our design, we wanted to do a qualitative side as well. So we thought we would address the teachers and just ask them, what is the bullying situation like before they even saw the program? What, give us an idea of the climate in your school. What is the culture that's happening right now in your school? And then afterwards, we came back and did a follow-up and said, since the program, what have you noticed? What kind of bullying events have you noticed since you saw the program? So this is the first slide. These are three schools that were able to give us complete information. And basically, what we see from this is that for these three schools, there was a decline in office referrals based on bullying and harassment events. Obviously, it's only three schools, and obviously we don't have the reason that we can't say that our play was the reason why this dropped, but we do see that there is a drop. Oops. And here's, I want to just move through this slide quickly. This is where we are in our process. The control schools have come up with information that's really negligible for us at this point. First of all, they're not starting with the same kind of bullying event baseline for us, and we're not really sure the information that they recorded to us doesn't line up with what we received from our study schools. So we're looking into how can we find more secure, better information from the control schools. As far as teacher evaluations, we found some interesting things as they observed what was happening in their school after our program came. First of all, there was increased awareness and understanding. A lot of teachers responded back that there's a common language now that we have within our classrooms, that we can actually talk about this. One teacher said there was a very covert issue that was happening, and a very overt situation that was happening in our classroom, and it's all of a sudden it's disappeared, it's gone. Another teacher who was a special education teacher said there was increased empathy that she noticed from other students and the way that they responded to her students, that there wasn't this feeling of, oh, there's someone different, but they were actually reaching out and being more friendly. Another teacher expressed how parents had expressed their appreciation for the materials that came home to them, that they were able to link it to their home life. And some schools said, yeah, there was a decrease in bullying. They talked about name-calling going down in the classroom and out in the playground. And some came back and said, well, actually, there hasn't been a change. And really pointing to students who tended to be more in bullying behavior, saying they really didn't take the messages and take them seriously. One teacher I thought was interesting, she said, what I've noticed is that those who are actually out engaging in bullying behavior don't recognize themselves as doing the bullying. And so that's something even for us as we think about what we've placed into the program, trying to assess how might we add that in so we really help engage young people who may not even have that self-awareness that what they're doing is bullying behavior. So quickly follow up what we need to do to continue to evaluate this and assess this. Obviously, we have a small sample size. We have three schools that have given us information. We need to track this in more schools, both pre and post our program, looking at the bullying events that happened both before and after. We also need to secure reliable control school information. It's interesting that the schools that gave us information, I think there might just be an identified need that they have, so that's why they're calling us to have the program. There also may be more interest, so they have tracking systems that are better. The control schools really weren't able to provide the information as well. And then finally, based on the teacher feedback, looking at how we can increase awareness and understanding of students through this program, so there may be some way that we can assess that and see how that changes by viewing our program. and then this is how you can contact us. Thank you very much.